Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Go. What? Hit go.
I'm on. You want to talk to Brad about it? Because he didn't have me up. We're good now.
Okay, you good?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi. Welcome back.
How do you do this?
Oh, gosh. Woo! Well, when you're a pro, you just walk in and you just flip the light.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
You can struggle through this all you want.
Yeah,
yesterday and the day before
it.
Were great.
But what do you do, Ryan?
Oh, I think people know. It's on record. Get the podcast.
Is it?
Yeah, it is definitely on record.
Don't listen to 2 o'clock yesterday.
Did we put
it was
the
tons
poll?
Of fart jokes.
People made me aware.
Yeah, they
we
did.
Were going to talk about that later.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Did somebody put the poll up? That's a no. Because normally I do it, and I didn't.
I can do it.
Annie's fresh from a flight.
Yeah.
Can you tell? She just got here.
Back from Washington, D.C. An amazing, amazing 48 hours. And it's been a whirlwind. And I have flown in. I landed at like 10 a.m. Ethan picked me up from the airport. We went on a hunt for Starbucks. Newsflash, the Starbucks at Ballpark Village is not there anymore.
It was literally a hunt.
I didn't know that.
No.
Do have a poke bowl place.
That's not what I was
looking
for.
You could just get that instead.
Does that come with caffeine?
Yeah, I don't think so. But you get kind of a sushi high sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. We went to the Starbucks that's in the Hyatt with where Ruth's Chris is. There were homeless people sleeping in the Starbucks.
No kidding.
Is that just the way things are?
I would think that when people come in and they sleep on the floor, that's kind of a line.
That's probably a Starbucks thing specifically.
I would think that's where you draw the line, though.
Oh, well, I'm so happy to be back. I'm so happy that it's raining because all of the kids' activities, at least for my family, on our calendar, are no more. So there's a track meet that might be happening, but my daughter's not going to be able to go to it. So we have a free evening, and I have from now until 3 o'clock back with you in studio here in St. Louis. We're going to talk about my trip. I've got an interview to play for you today, and I'll have another one for you tomorrow that I recorded with a congressman. We have Congressman Darren LaHood. We're going to listen to that one today, and tomorrow we'll listen and watch to the Congresswoman, Mary Miller. And we had conversations, of course, about the 100 days, but I also asked both of those individuals specifically about Illinois. J.B. Pritzker this weekend. Did you guys use that sound?
We didn't play it.
You didn't play it? Do we have the video somewhere?
Yes, it's Monday.
It's on Mondays. Can you get the link while I'm talking here about that, and we'll play the video so you can hear it as on Worst. Thanks, Brad. He's the most... A lot of people are saying like Bernie Sanders, AOC, but in my mind, I still compartmentalize the Democrats in the like AOC branch. And then the ones who are the other side of like the AOC side, the Bernie Sanders side, they're ideologically fantasy driven.
Yes.
Socialists.
They're like my 10-year-old daughter.
Yeah, there's this.
Why don't we just share everything?
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, well, okay.
That's a nice idea.
I'm going to tell all you kids to share everything. Bye.
Right.
And then you're like, I can't teach you about communism, but you can teach you about communism.
Exactly.
That sounds fun. I'm going to implement that in my house just for one day, just so that we can walk through the process and have a lived experience. So they're, I don't know, to their credit, the folks on that side of the Democratic Party have some sort of policy-driven idea that they're pursuing. But then you have the J.B. Pritzkers of the world, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, the Chuck Schumer's of the world. To me, it's like the details don't matter at all. They have a playbook, and they can pull a play off of page 84 and run that play. I mean, like, you've heard Nancy talk about the wrap-up smear. You know, we've listened to her explain politically how you can do hit jobs, plant stories, plant ideas, plant topics that will be a key factor of discussion for who knows how long they can ring out of it. And it's just a masterclass in politics. The policy doesn't matter at all. So you have the Democrat Party that exists with this far left, super unrealistic but ideological socialist communist fantasy, super political or super policy based, but no political acumen to really make it effective. And then the other side, they know how to plant a smear, they know how to run a political game, they know how to obstruct in the Senate or in the House, they know how to implement at a state basis effective politics. But they haven't quite figured out how to make both of those sides of the Democratic Party function together. Which is good, because if they could figure out how to make the far left crazies functional in government, we'd be screwed. J.B. Pritzker, to me, is the leader, the most prominent person in the Democratic Party on the side of politics. He also does dip a toe into the socialism stuff, but it's mostly cultural.
He borrows the language. I don't think he believes in any of the populist stuff that the far left, the AOCs, the squad people have pitched. I think he believes in, that's what people like to hear, so I'm going to say that stuff. But ultimately, it's just whatever is popular right now, I'm going to wind that road and get down it in whatever way necessary.
I would actually disagree with you on that. I think he's a true believer. I mean,
you think he believes in the crazy stuff?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He believes in his money.
Well, yeah, he's got his money, and he's never had to, like, actually, like, try to make ends meet. He's never had too much month at the end of the money. He's never had any of that stuff. You know, he's grown up in one of the richest families, and the richest politician in
the
America?
World.
Yeah. And
but he's against the oligarchy.
But he's against the, yeah.
Just like Bernie Sanders
in
his
like,
three
he
homes.
Believes everything until they come for his stuff. But he doesn't believe that they'll come for his stuff because he's one of the good ones.
And he's got stuff to spare.
Right.
Which, you know, we don't. I honestly don't really think J.B. Pritzker believes in anything. I think he seeks power. It's kind of weird. I think he actually is what they tried to paint Donald Trump out to be. And, you know, Donald Trump didn't need politics. And politics almost killed him. Donald Trump is alive in spite of politics right now. And J.B. Pritzker, I read these articles about him, and all he does, these articles often talk about how he was not, like, the... He's kind of the black sheep of the family. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that is a reasonable assessment of him when it comes to like the Hyatt, because he's from the Hyatt family. I was just saying, did I stay in a Hyatt? No, I didn't. I was at a Hyatt. This is where my mind is.
You went to a Hyatt.
I got Starbucks and a Hyatt. That's about as lib as you can get, isn't
it? Did that money go to Starbucks or Hyatt?
I think it went to that homeless man. Probably not. Isn't that the irony of it all? That's a great point that I didn't intend
to
make.
Yeah, we did not. I can tell you didn't intend to go there.
That's why they sent me to Washington, D.C.
That's why she's the best of the best.
No, I think that J.B. Pritzker has sought out only for power and thought that with without the qualifications that you need to be able to connect to people, the ability to listen and be driven by what the people want, as opposed to thinking, I know everything and I need to be in a place of authority or in power in order to enact upon the people the right thing. And if they don't agree with me, they just don't understand it yet. That's what puts you in a position to go to a place like a fundraiser in, oh, I don't know, New Hampshire. Why would he be there? And say something like as inflammatory and aggressive. I mean, it's you can't argue with the governor's own words.
Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption. But I am now. Microphone that we have, we must castigate them on the soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box.
All right. Well, if you had a right winger say that right before the day before January 6th and then January 6th happened, then the Democrats would be pulling out their hair over the inflammatory language of such a statement. These Republicans should not know peace. What does that even mean?
I also just looked up the word castigate, just to be sure.
Ooh.
To subject to severe punishment is the definition.
And it was weird. Why do you have that word of the day toilet paper with you right now?
I just take carry toilet paper. I figure might as well have some meaning to it.
Don't like that word.
I don't like carrying the boring toilet paper. The one-ply crap. What?
One-ply crap.
I don't like that stuff.
Okay.
Your fingers go right through it.
God bless. Get a bidet.
Done.
Is this a step up for J.B. Pritzker? Because it feels like it's a step up. He's decided to say something that's going to get the headlines, and he was successful in doing it. He wants the attention. He wants to be the president. He wants to be the person that can rally a very fractured Democrat party and bring them together. And he's doing it with violent rhetoric. That's really what he's doing. And I, you know, if we're playing by their rules, if Elon Musk said what he just said there, everybody knows how that would go. Would we be defending Elon Musk if he said those types of words when the left was saying, you know, he's inciting violence? I don't know if we would or if we wouldn't. But I would think if it was coming from the Republican side of the aisle, I would think, well, what do they mean by that? When you look at the Democrats and what they've stood for and what their action has been when it comes to political violence, they endorse it and they bail it out of jail. The woman who was the presidential nominee for the Democrat Party was bailing people out of jail who did exactly what J.B. Pritzker just said that people were supposed to do. They riot, they cause situations that are chaotic, which involve looting and burning of buildings and just total chaos. And that's an intention. That's what they did in 2020. There is something going on with the Democrat Party right now. It is a tantrum-like flail that is causing the Democrats to stoop to foul language around every turn, threats of not letting Republicans know peace and castigation. J.B. Pritzker wants to be the heir apparent to the nomination. And if the past is indicative of the future, that can be bought or influenced within the Democrat Party, and they will anoint the person who they think is the right one. I don't think it's J.B. Pritzker. I don't think people take him seriously on the left either. But he has the money to do what he wants to do. Do you see anybody rallying around J.B. Pritzker?
Not really.
You do see people rally around Bernie Sanders and AOC. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you absolutely do. That is the passionate far left class of activists that are rallying around them. J.B. Pritzker doesn't have that. You said at the beginning, there's kind of two classes of Democrats. There's the far left, there's the fantasy progressives, and then there's the calculated politicos. He is definitely not the fantasy guy. I don't even think he's really good at the calculated politico stuff either, though. That's the thing, is that this stuff seems like he's got enough money to buy a speechwriter who's going to go, say this line, this will get you attention.
Do you know why people entertain him to the extent that he's entertained? Because he wants to be the guy. He wants some. A lot of people are saying maybe Pritzker will run for Dick Durbin's Senate seat. He does not want to be one of 100. J.B. Pritzker wants to be one of one, and he thinks he's going to get there. And he's doing everything he can to lay the groundwork to do that. And the reason why people are giving him the opportunity to speak in the way he's speaking is because if he's not the one, they still need his money. What does J.B. Pritzker stand for? When J.B. Pritzker is pushing back against Donald Trump's immigration policies, he says, I am going to protect my Illinois residents. He doesn't say citizens. He says residents. And you know exactly what that means. It is so good to be back. Washington, D.C. was so amazing. We're going to talk about that throughout the course of the show. So keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk. And when we come back, former press secretary Kayleigh McEnany, and of course, Fox News co-host of Outnumbered, author, everything. Kayleigh McEnany, right here on the Annie Fry Show next. He was a
flower. Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the best, they say, 100-day start of any president in history, and everyone is saying it. We've just gotten started. You haven't even seen anything yet. It's all just kicking in. And week by week, we're ending illegal immigration. We're taking back our jobs and protecting our great American auto workers and all of our workers, frankly. We're protecting.
Well, the president speaking last night at a rally, it was very classic Donald Trump rally. Kind of missed it a little bit. And we're celebrating 100 days of Donald Trump and the successes that he has implemented. And I can't wait to have our next guest on. Kayleigh McEnany joins us once again, co-host of Outnumbered on Fox. She, of course, is a former White House press secretary as well and worked very closely with Donald Trump. Kayleigh, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Hey, Annie. Great to join you.
Thank you. Give me your quick assessment here of the first 100 days, especially as somebody who knows what it's like to work with Donald Trump. The atmosphere and the climate for him has been different in this second term. He's got a mandate. He seems to be enjoying himself. How do you feel 100 days in?
you know, he has, I would characterize it as 100 days of action. It's consequential. It's perhaps remaking the system of government as we know it, certainly economically when you look at the tariffs. And I think there's just such a difference between the first 100 days of his first term and now. He's going in. He knows he has a mandate to lead, a tailwind behind him, highest popular vote, raw vote, total count of any Republican president ever. So, you know, pretty big victory there. And he knows he has to act quickly. And he knows that things will get tied up in the court, as we've seen. And I think the name of the game is act quickly, make bold change. And then, you know, you have the next 4 years to hash it all out in the courts and to finalize what he his vision is, which is a total transformation of American society where we are freer, we have more money in our pockets, manufacturing is robust, and we're ultimately stronger on the world stage.
We're speaking with Kayleigh McEnany, co-host of Outnumbered on Fox. You know, one thing I heard the president say when he was asked about it, he goes, well, we've pretty much everything that we were looking to do, we've either done it or we've started it. And Kayleigh, I understand you are expecting once again another child. Very big congratulations to you on that.
Thank you. Yes.
I've thought a lot about the transformative way that this administration is leading so much big, bold change that I'm actually starting to think about my children's future in this country with a little bit more hope. And I don't know if that's if I've just talked myself into it. But what are your thoughts as a mom on what they're doing right now to make things new and hopeful?
Yeah, I love that you frame it that way. You know, I'm pregnant with my third child and you do think about things differently. One of the problems with politics is everything you think about in the short term. You know, I think many presidents go in, well, I'll spend what I have to spend to create a legacy. You know, I want to be the next FDR. I want to be the next Reagan. You know, let's do what we have to do and let future generations deal with it. And finally, you know, in Elon Musk, you saw him come in with Doge and he's trying to remedy and fix things for future generations. I always frame it as, you know, how is it fair that people, you know, we're swiping the credit card and, you know, my 5-year-old Blake and my 2-year-old Nash and the baby in my belly have to pay the bill. It makes no sense. And, you know, all of the flack that Elon Musk got for trying to remedy the debt and now Trump's getting on tariffs. I get it. No one wants short-term pain. But the long-term gain, it's not just for us. It is for future generations. And I love that you frame it that way. Because that's what you have to think about is how is this going to look American society 50 years from now, not just 5 months from now.
You know, Kayleigh, I think I'm a millennial myself on the older side of the millennials, but we have grown up through some things. I was a senior in high school when 9/11 happened, and we've seen the market crash in 2008 and going to 2009 with the housing situation. And we've had COVID. We kind of have this steady drumbeat of every 8, 9, 10 years, there's something really calamitous that ends up happening. And so you just kind of drudge through, you put your head down and you keep working. And if the reset, the way the president and his administration is looking at it, is successful, I don't think it's just politics and the economy. I think the culture can change as well. Hope can do a lot to a people.
Yeah, and that to me is the biggest and most insidious problem we have, and it's not even a government problem. Look, it's a big deal that, you know, China thinks economically out decades and we think out months and years. You know, that's a huge problem. But bigger than that, to your point, I think is the culture and the idea that, you know, we've seen in Pew, for example, over the last decade, you know, Christianity slide, the number of people professing Christianity slide. But there's been a total kind of boomerang where for the first time we see that those professing faith is on the rise. Gen Z, particularly 18 to 24 year olds, are returning to church. There is this resurgence of religious freedom at the court, a respect for life, hopefully on the rise again in the wake of the Dobbs decision. You are seeing a cultural boomerang where I think there's this vapid social media culture that is being rejected, and among young people, a return to the moorings of tradition and faith that really matter. And ultimately, I mean, that's the biggest problem we have in American society. And I'm not sure America sustains without a return, you know, to tradition, to faith, to the bedrock principles of family that have made this country the greatest on earth.
Yeah, amen to all of that. Kayleigh McEnany with us right now, the co-host of Outnumbered on Fox. You're the former White House press secretary. You were in the midst of COVID, right? The person who would come out and help guide our country through from the podium when it wasn't, I guess, Vice President Mike Pence. Sometimes the president would speak as well. How do you feel in second term Trump compared to your experience of working with the press in first term Trump? Does he still endure the same kind of antagonism that he had before? How are they weathering the storm?
I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up. You know, I know everyone says that the press is still hostile, and they certainly are. I mean, you just look at media research finding 97% negative coverage. That's all true. I watch, you know, all of the networks, the liberal ones, to kind of see what they're saying, and it is without question they're negative. But there is a certain amount of eating crow that I think has been going on, a little bit of humble pie. The press seems to have had the life kind of sucked out of them. They're not quite as fervent, as passionate. You saw it this week at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where there was an admission that they did not do their job in the Biden era. So while they're negative, hostile, certainly, there is a certain amount of introspection going on, and I think you see it with the level of decorum and respect in the White House briefing room now. You know, there's no longer shouting as you walk out. I would have one guy shout me down and say, you know, why is the administration killing so many Americans, which was a preposterous thing to say. We were in a global pandemic and all working as hard as we could to save as many American lives as possible. But that kind of fervor and anger is gone. Still negative, still not a good thing, but I think there's a little bit of introspection. How long that lasts, I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. You know, and I think the interesting part of that introspection is it never would have happened if the American people wouldn't have forced it on the press. Stopped watching, yes. Stopped reading, stopped interacting, and stopped voting the way they were being told. But last question before we let you go, Kaylee, we really appreciate your time here today. When you brought up the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I appreciate that because when they said, you know, wow, we really missed the mark on covering the mental decline of the president of the United States, I'm sitting here thinking, well, there's still time to cover it and investigate it and to get us some answers and expose the truth of what actually was. That's, in my opinion, how you would repay back the American people on what you didn't do. Do you think we'll learn any more about the president's mental capacity when he was in office?
I fear the answer to that is no. I mean, the press, you're right, has not picked up the mantle that they admit that they dropped. And, you know, for the life of me, I do wish that our Republicans in Congress would force this as an issue. I wish there was a special investigative committee like there was the January 6th committee into the mental decline of the president. And the purpose is not to, you know, hash old arguments out or, you know, throw something in someone's face. I think it serves a forward-looking purpose. The idea that you could have a diminished commander-in-chief for 4 years, really, if you look at it, and it be hidden from the American people, us being told everything's okay, it's a cheap fake, it's a figment of our imagination, it is a concern. It's a huge concern. And how to figure out a way to make sure that doesn't happen again, I think, is in the public interest. And I really wish Republicans in Congress would add a little fervency and investigate that the way the left investigated January 6th with such ardor and passion.
Yeah, absolutely. Kaylee McEnany, a pleasure to have you here as always. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Annie. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye. The co-host of Outnumbered on Fox, former White House press secretary, author of Serenity in the Storm. If you're looking for a good read, reading Kaylee's story is a really interesting one. She's so young and she has done many things. You know, people talk about Carolyn Leavitt as a press secretary. She's 27 years old. Kaylee McEnany is in her 30s and she's had quite a successful career so far, but she's doing it as a mom as well now with her third one on the way. And I enjoy watching her. And, you know, she was coming on the Annie Fry show on Saturdays when she was a spokesperson for the RNC almost 10 years ago now. So it's pretty cool to be able to talk to her and relate to her in a way that I don't think every guest, you know, has that connection the way we do with her with that show. That's cool.
Babies having babies, man.
Babies having babies.
You know, so young.
She's probably young enough to be your child.
You need to get less sleep more often. You were on fire.
Thank you. Am I?
Yeah, several times in that interview. She said, that's a great point.
She's
so
being nice.
I think what you need to do is go home. Do not sleep tonight.
No.
Come
gosh,
back tomorrow.
No.
Change,
you know,
the world.
Do you know how much and how hard I'm going to sleep, like, shortly?
Well, then tomorrow is not going to be a very good show.
Because I'll be rested?
Because you'll be rested.
Thanks.
You need to get less sleep overall and just firing on all cylinders all the time.
Gosh, I missed you guys.
Yeah. You know, we were talking quite a bit yesterday and Monday. It just doesn't seem like it because you weren't here.
Yeah.
You were on for an hour for each show. So.
Each show. Mm-hmm. Which was cool. That worked out okay?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Going into it, Brad was more nervous than anybody because of all the tech that had to go. And you were dealing with a lot more tech than usual.
Yeah. Usually Brad does all of it.
Yeah.
he was on one end and I was on the other.
I was just trying to figure out how to oddly facilitate what was not an interview with you.
What did you do?
You were here for it. You heard. I would say, this is the Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Wiggins. It's not the Manny Fry Show because Annie's here, but she's not here. She's in D.C.
And then I talked to her.
I just go.
Ryan was like very concerned about like, how is this going to sound? Because it's not going to sound like an interview and it's not going to sound like this. And how is this going to sound? I was like, it's supposed to sound a little different because she is in D.C. and that's part of the charm.
Do you mean just like the quality of the sound?
No, not the audio sonic quality.
Were you just wondering if we
just
would
how do we
entertain
set
people?
This up? Because I wasn't interviewing you. You were on the show, but then you weren't coming in and out of segments, so I was still kind of setting you up. I was like, Brad, what am I doing? And then it was fine.
Not the way it usually goes.
Yeah.
We figure it out. Wiggins America, have you done a Wiggins America this week yet?
Not really. We've booted on all of them because we were talking to you for the whole hour, so we didn't really come back to it.
So you've got a stack of content, and you just took the best one. What is it?
Too much content. How much does your phone know about you?
Probably more than I know about myself.
We're going to find out.
All right. We'll do Wiggins America on the Annie Fry Show next. I am so excited to be back. Thank you for everybody who has watched the videos, the interviews that we posted yesterday with Senator Eric Schmidt. I was able to visit him in his office in the Senate building. That was a really cool experience. We sat down. We had a conversation. You can see that on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can also see a couple questions that I asked Congressman Mike Bost. I was able to visit him as well. We're going to watch the Darren LaHood interview. Listen to the Darren LaHood interview here in probably a little bit less than an hour. So stick around for that. We're so glad you're here. We'll be right back. I never pay for my drinks. What kind of song is this? Like, what is this? Pop? What is this? It's great. Do you know what I'm saying? Lounge. No.
I would actually say it's loungier than it is rock.
Touching you. What kind of ballad. Lounges are you in? Maybe, is it pop?
Leather.
Red?
A lot of velvet. I don't know.
Did you say the red velvet lounge?
Oh, boy.
I said leather.
We're going to get to Wiggins America here in just a second. A reminder that today's YouTube live chat poll is to grade the president's first 100 days. Do you have one of those? I thought you gave me one, but
I'm going to do a parody of that song and just put Levitt in there.
Caroline.
Sweet Caroline. Levitt.
Google's AI overview says it is generally considered a soft rock,
soft
or
rock.
A pop
soft rock.
Or a pop song rather than a rock song.
Thank you.
Has elements of rock, but its overall style and instrumentation lean more towards pop
soft
music.
Soft rock. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Soft rock.
That's what it is. Back from Washington, D.C., got in this morning at about 10 a.m. Ethan picked me up from the airport, brought me straight to the studio. I am sitting next on my left to my suitcase and on my right to my personal item that went under the seat.
And your curling iron.
It's not hot anymore. I unplugged it. Yeah.
Have you ever told the people what you do, like, to me, how you interact with me and Ryan regarding that?
Why don't you tell the people?
So,
you started it.
Anytime that Ryan or I walk over to the corner of the room that Annie makes her own from 12 to 3.
It is about a fourth of the room.
She looks at us and just says, hot.
Well, I don't. I'm
and then
talking.
She kind of looks at.
It's going to turn into an HR problem.
Like when you tell this to a kid near a stove.
She point. Yeah, but
hot.
But that's
hot.
Yeah.
Have you guys
hot.
Seen how attractive? This is going to make Brad look bad. Ethan and Ryan. Have you seen how attractive these men are? You need to get on the YouTube channel and give the video a thumbs up if you think At least one of them is attractive.
Ryan, what the heck are you talking about? Where did that come from?
I thought we were talking about a curling iron.
I know. What is she saying? She's just suddenly revealing how hot we are?
DC changed
suddenly
her.
Suddenly revealing.
DC changed her. You know, they talked yesterday about making sure that DC didn't change you.
And it did.
It did.
You said
she's part of the swamp now.
You said, Ethan, that you and Ryan walk over to
yes.
me and I point at you and say hot.
No, you look at us and you say hot, but you're pointing at the curling iron.
Yeah. That is true. Every day.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Anyway.
There are days I long for her to just have straight hair. Just have straight hair. You know? Because we don't have to hear hot. 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 Hot.
You almost touched it today before I told you.
Did you really, Ryan?
Well, almost, because there was something right near it that I had to grab, and she went...
She tells you that every day, and you still forgot?
Yeah. That's why she says it every day. Because otherwise, she knows I would just go over there and grab it.
You're fitting into the stereotype.
How much does your phone actually know about you?
Thanks for getting us back on track. How much does your phone know about you? I've got a couple questions for you to make sure that you are letting it know only what you want. So you can let it know everything about you or as little as possible. But the first one is location tracking. Every time you check the weather, tag your location on Instagram, or ask Google Maps for the quickest route, you're sharing your whereabouts. That's thanks to location tracking, a feature built into most apps and devices that uses GPS, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. This is how they ping off of cell towers to know how the traffic is a lot of times, is how fast people are moving. The catch is many apps track you even when you're not using them. So, how much does your phone know where you are, Brad?
I have most of those apps, except for my Maps apps, set to only when using.
Me
too. If you've got your Maps app doing it, then it's doing it.
Well, even like I use Waze, and I turn it off on Waze unless I need to know what time I need to leave to make it to my location by another time. So, at that point, it's
every
like,
time you turn your you turn your location on and off in your map.
No, I have it set to only while using. And then if I'm like, hey, I want to make it by this time and have it send me a notification to leave, then it tells me I have to turn it on, turn it to always. So for whatever time that is that I put that destination in.
This drives me crazy always. Because I have mine set the same way. We're only while using app will it allow, I let it track me. But then whenever I open the app, a lot of times, depending on which app it is, it goes, oh, you gonna allow us to track you now? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
You're gonna hit the button now? Thank you very much.
More accurate times.
Takes it personally.
Turn
almost.
It on.
Exactly.
I was like, you kind of want that information a little too much there, bud.
I agree. And I don't like it, but I still go through with it because I don't know. I don't want it to know where I am all the time. Annie?
Yes. No, I'm Life 360 with my family. If you have it on with an app, you have it on. You're not going to, if you turn it off with other, I mean, the reason to turn it off with other apps is because they're going to target you and send you ads when you're using your apps that are like, oh, you want Papa John's? Because we have a Papa John's in our building and it's like, you might be hungry. We're being tracked in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. But to me, this is taking the control back from the man, from big tech. This is what you have to do. You have to go through it every single day, every time you open
it's worth it.
An app. And I still grit my teeth. I'm like,
I bet
not
you
getting it.
There are 5 apps on your phone tracking your location right now that you don't realize are tracking it.
That's possible. But when I install them, I try to make sure that I tell them no. Ethan?
Yeah, because don't a lot of them, they say like, oh, we would, to get more information or to get more extra data from you, would you be okay with enabling us to track this certain amount of information? And I try to always say no to those. There's a couple, like mine's always on, I think, for probably Maps and Life 360 and some of those things like that. But as far as the extra data from some of just the apps that I don't think are specifically looking for location, I try to say no to those.
The second one it leads us into is app permissions. How much are you giving overall permissions to different apps?
Oh, well, maybe that's what I was talking about.
Like your camera?
Accessing your camera, your contacts, your microphone, maybe even your calendar are all part of certain apps that want permissions to do these things. Usually when you install them is when you're giving them that permission. You can go back and change it. It's just a little tougher. Regularly auditing your app settings usually can tell you which of your apps have access to what. And to what extent, I'm assuming, Brad, since you don't do location, you're not really allowing a lot of apps to track your phone, your camera, your microphone.
I don't really, like, whenever I first download an app, I don't give it a lot of permissions, and I see how much will function without. And that's what I usually do.
It drives me crazy using social media sites because I only give it access to the picture I'm using at that moment. And then I go in to post it, and it's like, no, you don't even have that picture. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Oh, I got to go into the settings.
Select photos.
Go select the new photo that you have access to now, then post the photo. But I still do it because I'm like, I think I'm still beating you. I don't know if I am.
I don't know that you are.
But it feels like I might be. Ethan, how much access are you giving your apps?
So I don't have any social media apps on my phone. I use Safari because...
None?
I use Safari because it's harder to navigate on them. I try to like make that be a reason to keep me off them a little bit.
You're better than me.
I don't have... But I don't have the apps. So I don't know what I have Safari... what Safari has access to as far as... They have access to my photos because I still like post on the occasion. But as far as camera and microphone, I'm not sure. I'll need to go and check this. But I guess that's kind of the main thing, I feel like, that you're checking those things for, social media, right?
Mainly, yeah. Especially for the microphones, right, and the cameras, right, and all that stuff. Last one of the things that you need to be watching for is mobile ad ID. Behind the scenes, your phone is assigned a unique string of numbers and letters called mobile advertising identifier. It helps advertisers track your behavior across apps and websites to build a profile of your interests.
This is how a lot of times you say something out loud and then all of a sudden you see something on Facebook, but you forget that while you were saying it out loud and talking to someone, you Googled like a part of that said thing,
mm-hmm,
and now it's showing up somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You're inputting things in one app for one particular reason, and then it gets shared out, and now something else knows to sell you that thing.
This is creepy, but it also is extremely helpful. Like right now, I'm thinking about my drive home and saying, corn dog, I would really like them to let me know, oh, reminder, you're driving by Sonic right now. Get a corn dog. But you don't have to let it
Very
do all
random.
That.
Is Sonic paying you?
Ryan's
right
using
now?
Ads as reminders.
Corn dog.
I just want to say system. It I'm very
just,
clearly.
Right now I'm just sitting here, and the one thing that comes to mind is corn dog.
Corn dog, don't forget the mustard. And I don't care where it has one, but I know Sonic has them. Anyway, those are some ways to privatize your life, to keep that little robot in your pocket from taking you over, which is slowly doing. And 876.
Story Murdoch next on the Annie Pryde Show. We'll be right back.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now, and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.